Well, if you have your Bibles, we'll be in Matthew chapter 7 as we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount together, Matthew 7. Today we are going to look at what I would say is the most quoted verse of Scripture by people who aren't Christians. Maybe I'll say it this way. The most quoted verse of Scripture by people who are critics of Christians. Earlier in the service, as I talked about what was going on in Charlottesville, and I don't know about you, but when I saw these images of torches and marches and hearing some of the vile things that were chanted, and I mean, it wasn't just sickening. It was evil, sinful, has no place in the church, though I'm sure some among that group are in church today. They are completely outside of the will of God and are sinning against Him greatly. And you make a statement like that, and inevitably, you would have someone who would raise their hand in the back of the room and say, "Don't you know what the Bible says? Judge not." And that might be the only verse of Scripture that they know, or might not know where it came from, or any of that. We're going to look at that verse and those verses together today as we've been going through the book of Matthew. We've been in the Sermon on the Mount for several weeks now. Matthew chapter 7, picking up at verse 1, and just to kind of give you the context of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 was a section we called the King's Law. The Sermon on the Mount is really Jesus' inaugural address. This is my kingdom, and this is how my kingdom is going to work. And so the first chapter, chapter 5, was about the King's Law. You've heard that it was said, but I say. Mainly chapter 6 was about what we called the King's first part of chapter 6 was the King's Religion. About praying in secret, giving in secret, fasting in secret. And then the last few weeks we saw what I've called the King's Economy, about how we deal with money, how we store up treasures in heaven, how we don't worry about things here. And now chapter 7, we make one more turn, what I'm calling the King's People. Who are the people of the kingdom? What do they do? What do they not do? And how do we know who they are? So the King's People. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, or do not trample your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. So Jesus makes this big statement, and he does this a lot in the Sermon on the Mount. He makes these statements. If you do not forgive others, it will not be forgiven against you. Do not resist an evil person. If they strike you on one cheek, turn with him the other. Judge not. I mean, these things, and they are big statements, and we're forced to look at the reality of what it is to live as kingdom people. On the other hand, we read it and we say, okay, but what does the rest of Scripture say? Because this seems like such a big, extreme statement. What does the rest of Scripture say about this issue? When he says, judge not that you not be judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. It's the principle of reciprocity. Of what you sow, you'll reap. Of what you give, you'll receive. So the picture here is really a marketplace. You know, now we have these, you know, grocery stores with these scanners, and they place it on there, and it measures it. But imagine that you're there buying grain, and let's say that you had your scoop, and they had their scoop. Problems could happen in a hurry. And so Jesus is saying, don't judge, because with the measure that you use in your judgment, the measure that you heap out your judgment upon somebody else is the same measure that judgment will come upon you. And so the issue here is not we don't judge because there are no issues around us, or because everybody lives perfectly, or because there aren't anything going on. We don't judge because none of us want to be judged, do we? We don't want anyone to look at us and write us off or be critical or saying, you're flat wrong. So the issue that Jesus is giving here is judge with the measure that you want to be judged. How do I want to be judged? With much grace, with much kindness, with much compassion, with someone taking into account how I grew up and where I lived and what I've done and the things that I struggle with. In fact, that's one of the biggest issues you see when you hear this thrown out, you know, don't judge me, don't judge me. One of the things that's frequently added to it, have you ever noticed? How can you judge me when you don't even know me? And so Jesus is saying, be careful. The judgments that you place on other people. Because if you judge harshly, you will be judged harshly. If you judge with grace and kindness, you will be judged with grace and with kindness. So what does Scripture say? Is this the only time in Scripture that this issue is brought up? Or is this kind of one of those statements that Jesus makes that needs to be tempered with other scriptures? Turn with me. We're going to take a little journey. We're going to come back to Matthew 7. Let's start at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. You know, people are on their iPhones or their Bible phones. You don't hear many pages turning. I was kind of waiting for the pages, and I was like, oh, everybody must have their electronic Bibles today. All right. Therefore, this is Paul. Paul has just listed out all the sins of humanity in Romans chapter 1. So therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. Why? Why do they have no excuse? For in passing judgment on one another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things yet do them yourselves, that you will escape the judgment of God? So Paul's pointing out the same issue. If we are people who judge others in things that we do ourselves, the judgment of God rightly will come upon us. And so we look at things and we say, yeah, I mean, I know I've got sins. I know I'm not perfect. But God must not be that mad at me because everything seems to be going okay. He hasn't struck me with leprosy. He hasn't bankrupted me. He hasn't. God is very gracious to me. He must be okay. To which Paul would respond to that, verse 4. Or do you presume upon the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? The kindness of God showed to us is not meant by God to be an affirmation of our sin. The kindness of God on us is designed to lead us to a place of repentance. So Paul's talking the same language here that Jesus is. Be careful about judging others. So when we talk about judging, though, what exactly are we saying? I hear this a lot, especially among kids. You know, they'll wear a ridiculous pair of pants, and you'll go, haha, look at those pants, and they'll go, don't judge me. Is that what we're talking about? I mean, we're talking about trivial things. Look here. Go back to the book of John. John chapter 12. We're going to look at two places in John. John 12, and we're going to pick up at verse number 46. This is Jesus speaking. I've come into the world as a light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Now here's where it picks up. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, that's big, right? If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. That was a surprising statement if you didn't catch that. Why? Why would Jesus not judge them? I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge, and the word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. We all know John 3:16. John 3:17 says that the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Jesus came not for going around and pointing out, you're a sinner, 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 you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. We already know that. Jesus came to save. He came to forgive. The day will come when he will come back again, and the day of salvation will be over, and the day of judgment will be here. But for now, Jesus came. Aren't you glad? He came in grace. He came to save. He came in salvation. And so if you're here this morning and you would say, you know what, I'm as far from God as I could possibly be. I'm in my sin. I've got issues. And I feel like God is judging me. Jesus came. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day of forgiveness. Today's the day of repentance. Today's the day that you can get right with him and he will forgive you. The day will come when it will be too late, when he returns. But for now, it's the day of salvation. It's the day of grace. It's the day of hope that Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save. So when we're talking about judging, what is he talking about? He's not just talking about being critical. That's usually how it's used in our culture today, how it's kind of been twisted. You know, don't criticize me. Don't judge me. But it goes, I think, a little deeper than that. To not just being critical, but to condemnation. What do I mean by condemnation? You know, that person over there, they're never going to get saved. They're too far gone. They've done too much. And none of us who are Christians would ever say that out loud. But with our words and our actions, we can treat people in that way. That person will never be saved. That person can't be saved. That person, they're too far gone. John chapter 5, we won't turn there, but Jesus spells out, if you want to look at it later, 22 to 23, he spells out the fact that since he's the one that came in the flesh, the Father has put on him, Jesus, the authority to judge. And Hebrews tells us that we have a great high priest who is able to sympathize with our weakness because he was tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. So what does this mean then? We absolutely never, ever, ever criticize or judge somebody. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 5. And Paul is dealing with an issue here in 1 Corinthians 5, a very big issue of sin in the Corinthian church. The sin is this: there is a man who is sleeping with his father's wife, probably his stepmother is what's going on. And the church is just like going, oh, you know, freedom. Look at what we can do in Christ. We can do anything. We are free. Isn't that such a great non-judgmental attitude that the church should have? Isn't that how it works? That, you know what, we are not judgmental. You come in and you just, you know, you live your life and we all love each other and it just, it's great. And listen to what Paul says. Verse number 3. For though I am absent in body, he's not there physically, he's writing a letter, I am present in spirit, and as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present, and with the power of the Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. So when Scripture is talking about judging, and when Jesus is saying, do not judge, this is not an absolute across the board, don't ever say anything about someone negative. Don't ever call out sin in someone else. Everybody just get along. Everybody just mind their own business. Everybody just be happy and smile. No. So what did Jesus mean then when he said, do not judge that you're not judged? With the measure that you pour out, it's the measure that you receive. So now let's look at Jesus' own words again. Matthew chapter 7. So now he gives an example. He gives a word picture of what this would be like. Why do you, verse 3, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in? I mean, just, I almost brought a big piece of wood from my backyard today, you know, stuck it out of my eye. And I mean, it was going to be funny and all that stuff. And in fact, if you read the commentaries, this was probably, you know, first century Jewish humor, and it would have got a lot of laughs. You know, imagining somebody with this, the idea is like a ceiling beam is the idea. Like, I mean, like, this is not like a little stick. This is something that you can't even carry. It would take two or three men to carry. And so it's this picture of somebody with this thing sticking out of their eye. Let me use this arm. It's easier, better for the microphone. It's just this thing sticking out of their eye, and they're like, hey, I see you got a little bit of sawdust. Let me get that for you there, brother. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. So what's the point Jesus is making? Don't criticize, don't judge, don't condemn someone else until you've looked in the mirror. When you see a sin, a flaw, a fault in someone else, the first thing out of your mouth shouldn't be, hey, did you know such and such? You know, you got the first thing that should come to our minds is this, is that in me too? Is that in me too? Before we receive communion, we stop. God, I can't believe this overt act of racism in our own country. God, look into my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. We see someone who is sinning with their honesty or their integrity. Our first thought should be, where am I on this? How am I dealing with my business or with my neighbors or with my coworkers? When we see someone who is sinning sexually, our first thing should be, do I have a pure heart? Because Jesus said, as we've already seen in Sermon on the Mount, if you lust after someone, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Okay, I know that person is and we see today in the sexual ethics of our country, I mean, just going off the deep end and even faster than you could ever imagine. When we see that, though, our first thought should be, is there any lust in my heart? The imperfections in other people should remind us that we have imperfections ourselves. In fact, Andy Stanley says it this way. It's a little rhyme, a little poem. I thought I would share it with you. You may want to write it down. Do we have that? No, we don't have anything. And I didn't write it down because I was ready for it to be on there. I'll put it on social media later. It was really good. Sorry. We're running shorthanded all over the building today, so I appreciate everybody that's kind of jumped in and helped out. But it's basically this idea. It said something to the effect of, when I see an imperfection in thee, let it remind me to look at me. Because look at what Jesus says. You hypocrite, verse 5. First take the log out of your own eye. And that's what we do. First take the log out of your own eye. We look at ourselves first. We deal with ourselves. How am I handling my finances? How am I treating my children? How am I on and on and on and on? And at this point, this is where most of our world would probably agree with us and say, yeah, go Jesus. Good teaching here. You know, deal with yourself. Leave everybody else alone. But if you notice that Jesus started this phrase with the word first. So this is not the end of the story. First take the log out of your own eye. So if there's a first, there's a second. There's a then. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Following the commandment of Jesus not to judge, it doesn't put us in this little bubble of minding my own business and leaving everybody else alone. That does not jive with the rest of Scripture at all. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. We're supposed to pray for one another. We're supposed to help one another when we're in need. We're supposed to confess our sins to one another. And if you take just this one little phrase, judge not, and you're going to make yourself a little bubble where everybody minds their own business and love is cut off from the situation. You get a speck in your eye, it can become infected, it can get worse, it can lead to blindness, you can lose an eye, you can lose another eye, the infection can spread. You go, oh, it's just a speck, just, you know, no big deal. No, no, no. What do we as believers do who are one body? We see a speck in somebody's eye. We first look in the mirror. We pray. We deal with our own. And what does that help us do? It helps us, it says, see clearly. What does that mean? You have a lot more grace with someone when you've had to go before the Father and receive grace. Self-righteous people are rarely self-aware. They see the sins in everyone else and don't see it in themselves. And if we are going to be a body that loves one another enough to say, hey, I love you and I see this thing, and let me help you with that. If we're going to be that, the only way we're going to be able to see clearly enough to do that is to deal with our own selves first, our own sins first. And when we receive grace, you give grace. It comes out. So first, take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly. I can really help you. And not be judgmental. See, love will not allow us to separate ourselves. Because that's the easy thing, right? I mean, sometimes these conversations, when you say, hey, you got a speck in your eye, that's really, really uncomfortable. I would love to just leave it at the other place. I mean, I'm not a person that loves confrontation. Hey, I see a sin in you, it reminds me to deal with me. I go and I pray and I get it right with God and I just go on. And that's not what Scripture lets us do. We're a body who loves one another. And who will deal with things. Now, the next couple of verses, maybe for those of you who read ahead, you read the next couple of verses and you go, what? What does this have to do with judging? Had somebody come to me this week and say, hey, what are those last couple of verses, the dogs and the pigs, and what does that have to do with anything? And I said, yes, you're reading the Bible contextually. Great job. So let's read it. Do not give dogs what is holy, or do not trample your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. So a lot of questions come up here, right? Who are the pigs and the dogs? And what are the pearls? And what does casting mean? And what's this? I mean, there's like, a lot of times you'll see when you read Scripture, you know, and then Jesus told them a parable so that they should always pray and not give up. And then the parable comes and you're like, all right, I got this. And then you read this one and you go, there's no introductory material. There's no, it's just crammed in there. And so you study it and you read the commentaries and people struggle with what to do with it. Here's where I think it comes in. I do think it's connected to verses 1 to 5. And I think it's connected in this way. Here's how I read it. And if you read it differently, then I won't have any aspersions on you. Here's how I read it. When you go to someone who has a speck in their eye, not everybody wants to hear it. Not everybody's going to say, oh, thanks. Appreciate that. Can you? Where is it? I don't. You know, the true friend is the person who tells you that you have green stuff in your teeth, right? The person who lets you walk around all day with green stuff in your teeth isn't really your friend. I don't know if I should tell this story, but I was out, I had a day this week where I was out around houses and I was taking pictures of houses, and I got into my car after the last one, and I looked down and my fly was open. And I have no idea how long I had walked around and how many houses I had gone into, how many people that I had met with my fly open. But nobody said anything. It was just there. And I would have been so appreciative if somebody would have said, hey. Right? But other people are not going to be so happy or gracious in that. Sometimes people will not receive it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to know they have a speck. They don't want you to point it out. They are going to be upset. Do not give the dogs what is holy. Dogs and pigs, Jews didn't eat pigs. It was not part of their kosher. The dogs in their day were not the fuzzy pets that we have. These were the disgusting scavengers. They were vultures on four paws. They were disgusting and gross, and they hung out in the dump, and it was bad. Don't cast your pearls before swine. They're not going to accept it. They're not going to say, oh, wow, this is really valuable. Thanks for correcting me. Thanks for helping me. Rather, it's going to be trampled underfoot. Proverbs 9:8 says this. You don't have to turn there. Proverbs 9:8 says this. And tell me if you've known people like this or think about it. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Right? Some people don't want to hear it. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. So what's the takeaway from today? Number one, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, to judge the world. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of grace. Today is the day of forgiveness. His arms are open wide. The day will come when he'll return to judge. The day will come, if we don't live till that day, that we will stand before him as our judge. But for now, today's the day of salvation. And so we as believers, we don't run around judging and criticizing and doing all these things to other people, because number one, we want to be judged with grace and compassion. So we judge others with grace and compassion. And when we see faults and sins in other people, we first let that be a cue for our own lives. Let me check out myself. Let me bring this to the Lord in prayer. Let me get myself right. And then we don't leave the other person in their sin, but we go and we say, in grace and in love, let me help you with this. And some will receive it, and for some, it'll be like throwing pearls before swine who stomp on it and roll around in the mud and want nothing to do with it. Let us be people who follow the words of Jesus, who live with grace and kindness, and that when we see the faults of others, we examine ourselves first, and that God would give us the wisdom to know how to point out the speck in others, and that when it's not well received, that it doesn't surprise us or discourage us, and that we walk in grace and love and humility. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege it is to be in your house and to hear your word. Lord, we pray for those who might be among us today who they need today to be the day of salvation. They're so glad to hear the words that you did not come, Jesus, to condemn or to judge. You came to save, and they need your salvation today. If you're here this morning, and that's you, you need Jesus. You need forgiveness of sins. You need salvation. Your life is not right with God. And all the voices around you and the voices in your head and in your heart are saying, you've sinned, you're wrong. Those voices are not wrong, they're just incomplete. Because the truth is this, yes, you've sinned. Yes, you're wrong. Yes, you're separated from God. But today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of forgiveness. Today is the day that if you call on Him, He'll forgive you. If you confess your sins to Him, He'll forgive you. He is gracious and compassionate. He loves you. He wants you to call out to Him. He is not reluctant when you do. He has been waiting and listening. And He knew this day was going to come. And so I want to give you the opportunity to do just that. To call upon His name. Say, Jesus, I need You. I need forgiveness. I need a Savior. And if that's you this morning, we're going to pray in just a moment, but I want you to take your first step of faith now while you're sitting where you are. And it's simply this. I want to acknowledge before God. I want to take my first step of faith. Acknowledge before God that I need Him today. So while nobody's looking around, this is between you and God. If that's you, raise up your hand. Say, that's me today. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need a Savior. I need forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand together. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer just for a couple of moments. And I encourage you, and I always say, don't just listen to me pray. Make this your time of prayer. And then as we close, this will be our closing prayer. Our altars will be open. Maybe there's some things that you need to come, that you need to really spend a few minutes and say, God, show me, look at me. I've been really critical of this person or of this thing or of this issue that's going on in our world. And God, I need you to look at me. I got to deal with this. And so we're going to pray together. It'll be our concluding prayer. Afterwards, you're welcome to come. Spend some time in prayer in addition to that. But let's take this to the Lord. Father, each one of us, we take a moment and say, Holy Spirit, look in our hearts. Show us, Lord, the things that we see in other people that bother us the most, the things that we see in our culture that bother us the most. May we take a moment now and say, Lord, is that in me? Spirit of God, illuminate my life, my heart. Is that in me? Lord, for those who have been too critical, they've measured out from their measure too much criticism, too much judging. Lord, may You allow them and help them to measure out grace and love and compassion. And for those who take the time and evaluate themselves and then must have a difficult conversation with someone who has a speck in their eye, Lord, as some among us even call out names now as we pray, Lord, would You give them courage and grace and love and wisdom to know? And for that person, would You go before them and make them receptive to Your words and to words of instruction and correction? And may they receive it with gladness and joy because of it. Thank You for Your word that challenges us and changes us. Let us walk out of here different today. In Jesus' name.